From St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, a portion of the fifth chapter. We are convinced that one died for all. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. He is risen. Hallelujah, amen. We live for him. Now, I am convinced of this, that anyone who makes their living talking, that anyone who makes their living doing some public speaking will undoubtedly a time or two put their foot squarely in their mouth. They'll say something they wish they had not said. If they could swallow the words and take them back, they would do so in a hurry. Every preacher knows this to be true if they've preached long enough. And therefore, I don't really like to pick on preachers, because I'm one of them, and I've done it sometimes, but I'm going to do it today. I just won't tell you who the preacher was or where it took place. I will just tell you, I know this story to be true. It was on a day just like today, when the pastor came out at the beginning of the service and said, on this Memorial Day weekend, we would like to welcome all of you who have laid down your life for our nation. In fact, we'd like you to stand up right now so we could give you our thanks. Yeah, the congregation was doing exactly what you were doing. They were chuckling, and he was kind of thinking, how do I redeem this moment? And he said, oh, that's right, they're not here. Yeah, they're not here. That's right. You know, those who have fought the good fight and are in heaven, don't join us when we come into the church, but we do join them. Those who have died fighting the good fight, whether their life was lost on a battlefield or in the mission field or just a field, a literal one, or the figurative one in which they labored. Those who have died fighting the good fight, who lost their life of natural causes, of accidental causes, or of criminal causes. Those who have gone before us in the faith. Hear those three important words, in the faith. Those who have gone before us in the faith, convinced that one, Jesus Christ, died for them and was raised to life again. Those who have gone before us in the faith. Don't come to join us when we come to church, but we do join them. With angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name when we come into his presence in worship. Whether that worship is in a gymnasium, on a side of a hill in the mountains, like our high schoolers are doing right now at their retreat this weekend, or in a sanctuary. I know you can't wait until it's in a sanctuary, and it will be in a sanctuary soon. The doors are open today. You can peek in there. It's looking beautiful. There are some things that will change. There's one thing that's going to stay the same in our sanctuary, more than one thing, but one thing that's staying the same in the sanctuary, and that's our communion rail is still semicircular. Now, there is no requirement that that be the case. A communion rail could be perfectly straight as an arrow. You can have no communion rail whatsoever. In fact, when you come to commune this morning, there is no rail, right? Shape of the rail is not required, but the semicircle communion rail does remind us of a spiritual truth, that there is an eternal arc on the other side with which we connect when we come into God's presence, wherewith angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify his glorious name. Where we who are still part of the church militant, who feebly struggle, join with the church in triumph that in glory shines, all one within his great design. Alleluia. Alleluia. That which unites us is the truth of this text. He, one, Jesus Christ, died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life again. On Memorial Day weekend, we as a people, we as a nation, do remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice and service to our nation. Those who donned the uniform. Who went over there, wherever there is, and laid down their life for those back home. And it is good and right and salutary to remember and honor them. But there is one who laid down his life for all. All who actually had rebelled from his father back home. Over there was right here. And God in Jesus Christ donned the enemy, so to speak, uniform. The opposition's uniform, if you will. God in Christ became human, one of us, yet without sin. Never once rebelling from his father, never yielding to temptation, holy and righteous all the days of his life. And then he sacrificed himself, laid down his life for rebels like me and you, who are anything but holy and righteous. People who have given in to temptation, not just once, not just twice, but countless numbers of times. Those who have rebelled against the will and the commands of their God. He laid down his life for us. And was raised to life again. We're convinced of this, that one died for all. And therefore, those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life again. Because he embraced death, you can embrace life. Because he died willingly and sacrificially, you can live life abundantly in him. Because he was led to the cross, you can be led in life and into eternal life through him. Because he not only laid down his life, he was raised to life again. He is risen. And now we are called to live for him who died for us and came back to life again. What does it mean to live for him, not for self? That's really the question before us in this text. I want you to go back to where we began worship this morning with that biography of Tommy Lasorda entitled, I Live for This. Your biography should read the same, right? But what is it that we live for, ultimately? And how do we live for it, ultimately? Let me suggest the very things we say unite us and drive us and bring us together as a congregation are good examples of how we live for him, worshiping faithfully. Why worship faithfully? Because here we come together to give glory and honor to you who laid down his life for us. Here we come to connect with others who are also enlisted into the gospel's cause, as well as find encouragement from those who are, well, even now, dwelling in that ticker tape eternal parade. We come together and worship faithfully because we live for this. He who died for us and was raised again. Why do we form spiritually? Why do we seek to be in God's word, to listen to him talk to us, and then to talk to other Christians about what we hear him saying? Because here we find strength for that conviction that he died and was raised on our behalf. And here we are empowered to serve passionately. That is to live our life in imitation of Christ, to live it in memoriam of him, if you will. Seeking not to serve self, but putting one another and community first. We form spiritually and serve passionately because we live for this. Why do we share intentionally? Because there are those who do not know that the war has ended. You know, every war has those stories where decades later someone is found who didn't know that actually an armistice was met, that peace has been settled, that the war is over. There are those among us who do not know that Christ has defeated the access powers of sin, death, and the devil, that have no idea that the victory is ours. We share intentionally because we live for this. Why do we give proportionally? Why do we return a first fruit gift of ours back to the Lord in the ministry of the church? Well, going with the Memorial Day theme, let me say, it's to support the battle effort. Not the war effort, the war is finished, but the battle still goes on. We battle, not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the forces of evil. The spiritual battle yet continues. And we give proportionately to fund and support ministry to enable many to continue in their conviction that Christ was died and Christ was raised, to find power to live in memoriam to him. We do it because we live for this. Now, if your biography is titled, "I Live for This," there'll probably be chapters like those Instagram pages we talked about earlier. There'll be chapters that talk about exotic traveling and kitchen, game table, game playing. There'll be chapters that talk about babies and brunches and baseball. Chapters that talk about family and frivolity. But may every page in your life drip with this truth that you live for him who died for you and was raised to life again, Jesus Christ. We pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for those who have gone before us in the faith, convinced that you died for them and were raised to life again, whether they were numbered among the heroic few and the brave, once draped in star or stripe, or simply numbered among the countless hosts arrayed in white. We give you thanks and praise for all those who've gone before us in the faith. And Lord, as you did them, we pray that you would send us your Spirit, that we might live our lives in faith, that ours might be one in which it is clearly seen, we live for this, you who died for us, and we're raised to life again. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.